The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 20 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Nadia Trudell. Here are today's headlines. A huge divide between Canada and Quebec. How's Quebec's vaccine passport going? And Quebec businesses are looking on the bright side. A question from the most recent federal leaders debate has Canadians and Quebecers divided. A poll conducted shows that 65% of Quebecers think the question about Quebec's secularism laws was inappropriate, while 73% of Canadians think it was a valid question to ask. 62% of Quebecers don't think these laws are discriminatory, while 41% of Canadians think they are. There's a huge divide between Quebec and the rest of Canada. Tensions are high after the executive director of the Native Women's Shelter, Nakiset, said that people will die because of the new Bill 96. This comment was made at an alternate hearing being held by the Quebec Community Groups Network about language laws. Reporter Talia Cliott is in the studio. Talia, what are people saying?
So as expected on Twitter and the rest of the internet, the reactions are inconclusive. The emotions are really high and none of the reactions are very constructive. They're just bashing the other side. But the leader of the third opposition group for the Parti Québécois, Joël Arsenault, he even reached out, reacted to this comment at a press conference this morning. And he's frustrated that this comment wasn't taken to the hearings at the National Assembly, but rather at an alternate hearing.
I don't think it's a great way to start the discussion. It's an opinion, and we'll take all of the opinions, but it's a conclusion at the same time, and I think we're not there yet.
You had the chance to speak to Nakiset. Did she expect this reaction?
I don't think anyone can really expect these types of reactions, but I think she's pretty strong in her convictions that a lot of these Indigenous people, they go to English schools, so when professionals won't, especially medical professions, won't treat them and speak to them in a language that they understand, this greatly increases the risk of further injury or death. And she's really frustrated that her warning is being discounted as simply an opinion.
Like, really, like, you want me to prove it to you that, you know, we're struggling? No, go figure it out yourself, buddy. There's so much. There's BS Commission recommendations that have been laid out.
How will these discussions be continued?
So the National Assembly hearings will start next week and proceed for the next 3 weeks. And as for the Quebec Community Groups Network, the last of four hearings on this issue actually happened this morning.
Okay, thank you. The vaccine passport is now in full effect. After a 2-week grace period offered by the Quebec government, clients are now obligated to provide a valid ID and their vaccine passports before entry into non-essential businesses. We have Cédric Galland reporting on the situation live on Sherbrooke Street. Cédric, was the 2-week grace period enough for restaurant owners to adapt?
Yeah, but at a certain degree, this is not the whole problem. As Oliver Watson, 92 Degree Cafe, said, there's a bit of a social dilemma. He says this.
It's given us enough time to adapt, but I think the reality of the situation is that there's going to be people that don't adapt. So, we had enough time. We downloaded the Vaxi Pass so that we could scan people's QR codes.
Logistically, has it been difficult to manage the clientele?
Well, many owners have different ways of adapting, and they have unique ways of managing the clientele. And at a degree, the livelihood, so they're going to adapt forcefully to this new situation, these new regulations. So German Arona from Grand Burger Montreal has come back.
For me, to be honest with you, it didn't really change anything to me. Those who want to eat inside, I make sure they have their vaccine code. But if they don't have it, I still serve them. I give them the food and I let them go.
Has that affected businesses in any way?
Well, obviously. I mean, there's still going to be some pretty long lines. And just this morning at 92 Degree Cafe, I saw some people having problems with their broken QR codes. So obviously, there's going to be some holdups. And part of management is going to deal with the clientele.
Okay, thank you. As healthcare workers around the province protest, Québec Solidaire and Parti Québécois are looking for solutions for the mandatory overtime issue. They have two very different outlooks on the situation, but what does the Fédération Interprofessionnelle de la Santé du Québec think? Mackenzie Sanche has a story for us.
As both parties take their stance on mandatory overtime for healthcare workers, the Fédération Interprofessionnelle de la Santé reminds us that this problem has always existed. According to them, mandatory overtime is exhausting for nurses and hinders the balance between work and family. It has only gotten worse with the pandemic. Québec Solidaire leader Gabriel Nadeau-Dubois says that the long-term goal is to improve healthcare working conditions. He explained that his party will put forward a motion that aims to fully stop mandatory overtime. This goal should be achieved before the end of Legault's mandate in a year.
Le temps supplémentaire obligatoire, c'est un cancer. Ça fait fuir les infirmières du réseau public. Il faut que ça s'arrête maintenant.
On his part, Joël Arsenault from the Parti Québécois believes that following the English model would be a good solution.
People sat down and decided that instead of having 8-hour shifts, they would have 12-hour shifts. That way, when you have this shift, or you know what you're getting into, but then you will not be faced with overtime, forced overtime.
As the Fédération Interprofessionnelle de la Santé says, this is a major issue that needs to be solved.
That was Mackenzie Sanche reporting. It looks like we all might be able to afford a house after all. After the Canadian housing market hit record highs earlier this year, things have cooled off. According to a new study by the Canadian Housing Association, prices leveled off earlier this summer, and there was little change between July and August. Montreal is actually cooler than many markets, helping to bring down the national numbers. Two men are in the hospital after a shooting in the Chaumdi neighborhood of Laval. The men were aged 19 to 20 and already known to police. Neither is in critical condition. A man in his 20s was arrested in Montreal and will appear in court on Wednesday morning. He is accused of conspiracy, possession of a firearm in a residence, and firing a firearm. The shots started a fire in the garage of the residence, which was quickly subdued by firefighters. Canadian industries were heavily affected by the pandemic. However, recent productions can leave Canadians feeling a little more optimistic. Here's Dulin Bouvet with more.
Many Canadian business moguls are optimistic for the future, a future of steady economic growth in Canada. Mary Lily Shaw, an economist at the Montreal Economic Institute, believes the easing of strict COVID protocols has greatly helped businesses in Quebec.
Businesses have been doing better simply because they could reopen. Of course, the easing of the sanitary measures greatly helped just when they removed the 2-meter distance to allow more capacity in the stores. We saw a great boom for that, especially downtown Montreal, let's say.
The pandemic has, however, helped flourish a new industry, distance learning. Shaw believes this industry will continue to grow.
The technology industry, when it comes to, let's say, distance learning, those who were forced into it saw what Teams could do, what Zoom can do, what Google Meet can do. I think even more innovative ideas are going to flourish from the pandemic, because whether we want it or not, distance learning, I believe, is here to stay.
As numerous economic sectors continue to recover from the 2-year-long pandemic, many new industries have flourished, which has only helped the Canadian economy get back on track. Experts project a steady continued economic growth over the next 3 years in Canada.
Volvo and Lego have challenged robotics students from all over the world to move the world's biggest articulated hauler, the Volvo A60H, across 50 meters. 35 young engineers rose to the challenge, managing to haul the 6-wheel vehicle in 30 minutes using over 700,000 Lego Technic pieces. 4 teams of children worked together remotely to achieve the feat. It's starting to clear up outside, and it should set us up for a beautiful week. Expect a lot of sun and temperatures to warm up throughout the week, until we hit highs of 26 and 27 this weekend. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Nadia Trudell.